Let's start with Parsha as always. So this week's Parsha is Parsha's Truma, and it begins an entire section of Sefer Shemos, where with Parsha's Truma, we begin the series of Parshas that relate almost exclusively to the Mishkan and to its Kelim. And it's only about another week or two until all of the elementary schools stop learning Parsha, because you could talk about the Mishkan for a couple of weeks. You're certainly not talking about Karbanos, so they'll move on to Purim, Pesach, other things. And sometimes these parshios, maybe because it's not in our Girsa Diankas or whatever, they're not as appreciated as perhaps they should be. But in reality, it is the most momentous occasion in Jewish history. The fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu is a Dira B'Tachtonim, the fact that we have a place of the Makom Hashras HaShchina. The Ramban writes very famously that Sefer Shemos is called the Sefer HaGeula because, not because we left Mitzrayim, but because we have a Mishkan at the end of Sefer Shemos, and that is the definition of Geula. And he writes that the entire purpose of the Bria was to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu a Dira B'tachton, was to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu a Makom Hashras HaShchina. So the Mishkan is not a small deal, it's a very big deal, and the Mishkan is more than a building. It's an opportunity to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu live within each of us. V'shachanti, as it's been noted by Rishonim already, not b'socha, but b'socham. That when we build the Mishkan, it enables us to be klei kibul, so to speak, to have a Hashras HaShchina within us, to be able to have a Kadosh Baruch Hu reside within us. As Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, Zichron Levracha, formulated it, and he had such a gift of formulation, God does not live in buildings, He lives in builders. Meaning when we build a Mishkan and we are a Zocha to have a Mishkan, so that's where Kadosh Baruch Hu chooses to have Hashras HaShchina. So it is therefore very logical to assume that the details of the Mishkan are more than just architectural preferences of like what would look nice and what would work best functionally and things like that. That every detail is somehow representative of some loftier idea of something that is very significant in terms of what it means to live life like a Jew and to believe like a Jew and to have an attitude like a Jew is supposed to have. So one particular detail that jumps out at you when you look at the various kelim of the Mishkan is that you look at the measurements of the various kelim, you'll notice that the kelim not only have different sizes, but that their sizes are expressed differently. Meaning, the Aron is to be Amasayim v'chetzi arko, Amma v'chetzi rachbo, ve'amma v'chetzi komaso. All three dimensions of the Aron, height, width, length, all three dimensions are half measures. And yet, the Mizbeach, on the other hand, is Chamesh Amos Orech, Chamesh Amos Rochav, Sholosh Amos Kamaso. That all three dimensions of the Mizbeach, height, width, length, all of them are full measures. There are no half measures when it comes to the Mizbeach. And then when it comes to the Shulchan, it's a mixture. Amasayim Arko, V'yama Rachbo, but V'yama V'chetzi Kamaso. There's this combination, there's this mixture of full measures and half measures. So why would it be that the Aron is expressed entirely in half measures, or is built rather entirely in half measures, the Mizbeach is built entirely in full measures, and the Shulchan is a mixture of the two? So my Chavrusa, Rabbi Razan Shlita, suggests that there are three crucial messages being conveyed in the measurements of these kelim, and let's not only state them, but perhaps elaborate on each of these messages just a bit. The Aron represents Ruchnius. The Aron represents obviously not just Ruchnius, but Torah in particular. And that's obvious. When a person looks at Ruchnius, when a person looks at his own accomplishments in learning in Torah, we should always appreciate that, paraphrase Rav Judah, we're always bederach, right? We're always on the way, and we're not yet quite at the finish line. There is no finish line, right? The old saying goes, I forgot who the quote is from, that education is a race without a finish. So growth in Torah is a race without a finish, meaning we're constantly growing, we're constantly looking to achieve more. We never feel that we're complete. Spiritual pursuits are always a race without a finish. We're never meant to feel that we've accomplished everything that there is to accomplish. I remember many years ago, my friend Rabbi Yecheskel Freundlich told me a vart in the name of his grandfather that stuck with me. And then just this morning, I heard it in the name of Rav Moshe Feinstein. So here's the Vart. The Gemara in Pesachim tells us, Li olam yasuk adam torah mitzvah saf pi shalol lishma, she mitok shalol lishma balishma. Right, that a person should always engage in Torah mitzvah shalol lishma, because ultimately you'll get to lishma. It sounds like very good advice, meaning you shouldn't wait until you could do things with perfect kavana in order to do anything, in order to do any mitzvahs. You can't let in, Rabbi Franz's words, and you know Voltaire stole it from him, that you can't let perfection be the enemy of the good, right? Meaning you can't wait till I could do things perfectly, and otherwise I'm not going to do anything at all. That's a very stupid way to live life. You have to try to do things as well as you can, and hopefully one day you'll do them even better. You know, you'll be able to do things more lishma. There is one word in that phrase that is somewhat puzzling, though, and that is the word li'olam. You know, you want to tell me, yasuk adam torah mitzvah v'shalol lishma shemitok shalol lishma v'lishma, that's great. I'm going to do mitzvah, but li'olam? Li'olam implies forever, not implies, it means, it says the translation, taich of the word, li'olam, means forever, that you should always, forever, do things shalol lishma. But isn't the goal, shemitok shalol lishma v'lishma, that it's dafka not meant to be forever? So what's the word li'olam doing there? So Rabbi Freundlich suggests, in the name of his grandfather, that we should always feel that we haven't yet quite achieved lishma. The moment we feel that we've achieved a sense of lishma is the moment we start heading in the wrong direction. Li'olam, we should believe that there's more to achieve, that we're not yet at perfect lishma. Li'olam, we should believe that, you know, we're not there yet. And this is true not only of how much l'shem shamayim we do things, but it's true of every area of growth in ruchnius, that we should never feel that we've arrived. So where did I hear it this morning? So I was listening to the recordings of the various meetings at the Boca Raton Synagogue group of Mevakshim. You know, they came in and they had a group of 20 guys from Boca Raton Synagogue came in this week, and they met with various people, various rabbinic leaders, some Rashi Yeshiva from Mar Yeshiva, but also a wide variety of different people from Muncie and from Lakewood and from Brooklyn and whatever. So I was listening. They had a meeting with Rav Simcha Benon Kohn, the author of The Shabbos Kitchen and The Shabbos Home and The Radiance of Shabbos and The Sanctity of Shabbos and the whatever, right? You know, that whole series, right? So, and the laws of Avelus and the laws of daily living, and, you know, he has a wonderful, wonderful halacha series that he wrote for Art Scroll, that he published through Art Scroll. In fact, I always recommend when people ask, they want to learn Hilcha Shabbos, but they're not going to be learning it like morning Seder. They want to learn halacha. They want to do the halachas of Bishul B'Shabbos. So what's the best way to do it? So they say, should I just go through the Mishnah Berurah? You could try. You know, if you have a half hour a day, you could try to go through the Mishnah Berurah. That's not going to work. So I always recommend first read the Shabbos Kitchen with the footnotes, then go through the Mishnah Berurah. I mean, you have to at least, you know, have some concept of what a Kli Rishon is, what a Kli Sheni is. You have to have some concept of Kali Abishal. You have to have some concept of what Shehi Amalakzar, what the reasons for these things are. When you have background, and then you go through the Mishnah Berurah, then you'll be able to understand it much, much better. But anyway, so he's a very prolific author in Halacha. So they met with him, and it was fascinating, but that's for a different time. But what he said at the end was when they started asking questions, he said that before he published his first sefer, he went to Rav Moshe Feinstein, and he said that he even got into learning halacha to writing halacha because he wanted to have what to talk to Rav Moshe Feinstein about. So he lived in the Lower East Side, and he wanted to have what to shmooze with him about. So he started looking up sugyos and halacha so that he could have what to talk to Rav Moshe about, which is fascinating. So he said when he had his first manuscript, he went to Rav Moshe and he said, should I publish it? And Rav Moshe said, what's the hava mina natu? So he said, every word I wrote was shalol lishma. I just, you know, I want to get covered, and I want my name to be out there. I want people to know who I am, and every single word, shalol lishma. So Rav Moshe took his hand in both of his hands, and he said, you're a wonderful person. So he said, why? I just told you everything I did was Shalom Lishma. He said, because you're honest enough to tell me that everything you did was Shalom Lishma. Most people will say, no, everything is Lashem Shemayim, everything I do is Lashem Shemayim. You know there's Shalom Lishma. And then Rav Moshe told him, Bizvart, the Olam, Yasakam Tar Mizav, Shalom Lishma. You should always feel that you're not perfectly Lishma. You should always feel that there's a greater level of Lishma to achieve. So that idea that in Ruchnius everything should always be a half measure. We should always feel that we're only halfway there. You know, there have been so many times in speaking with Moreno Rav Shechter Shlita that he's warned us against the sense of gaiva, particularly when you accomplish something significant. And he points out, you know, too often very talented people who have a lot to offer Klal Yisrael fall into the trap of thinking that they're greater than they are, and they stop chasing greatness due to the false belief that they've already arrived, they've already achieved it. So a person can't aspire to something that they believe they've already accomplished. And part of achieving is a desire to achieve. That's one of the things we in our yeshiva have to be particularly cautious about, because we, as we've pointed out in the past, in our yeshiva, everything is very goal-oriented, almost degree-oriented, right? Meaning there's great value in that, because there's always, to always have a goal means that you're always trying to accomplish something, but then what happens when that goal is met? So there's a tendency to feel, oh, okay, now I got it, right? Meaning a Talmud starts college and he knows exactly what he needs to do in order to finish. A Talmud starts the smicha program, he knows exactly what he needs to do in order to become a rabbi, in order to get that certificate that says that he is a rav. A Talmud starts the Kol Elyon, he knows that he needs to do whatever, the 3 or 4 years, Baron Wexner, you know, to have a superior rabbinic training and to be a certified big Talmud Chacham. But, you know, the downside of a finite goal is that it's achievable. And the real goals in life are not achievable, meaning a person should use those as motivation to get to that point. But then remember to move the goalposts. Remember, you got to keep moving the goalposts back in order to strive to achieve more. There's no possibility within the system of just like open-ended learning, you know, to learn forever. In Lakewood or in other places, that's like the norm, is just learn till you can't anymore, you know, learn till you fall to pieces or whatever, you know, or till the kids are hungry, or, you know, like as long as you can go. That has a certain advantage to it, that there's no finish line, a certain disadvantage also. The half measures of the Aron are the reminder that there's always more to achieve. In fact, I was just listening this past week, I mentioned to you earlier in the week that I was listening to Reb Bronspiegel, Zichron Levracha, after he passed away, I was looking for stuff on Wayu Torah, so they had a session with Reb Bronspiegel and Rav Kahn and Rabbi Blau and who else? What? Rabbi Lamb? No, I don't think so. I don't think Rabbi Lamb was there. But whatever it was about it was to young rabbanim, and it was about what messages they need to young rabbanim need to hear. So Rav Bronspiegel's message to rabbis was keep on learning. Don't forget that you got to keep on learning. You got to keep on growing. So that's the Arum. Let's try to get through the next two a little more quickly. The Mizbeach represents our ability to reconnect with Hashem after some failures, after some breakdowns in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We bring karbanos when we failed in keeping the mitzvos as they ought to be kept. And often, people who are trying to repair a fractured relationship feel that the relationship can never be what it once was. It can never be as great, as good as it could be. You know, in human relationships, it's often true. In human relationships, it's often the case. You know, sometimes someone does something, Reuven does something to Shimon to hurt him, to insult him, and Reuven apologizes, and Shimon says, I forgive you, we're best of friends, until Reuven does something wrong next time. And then Shimon's going to say, and this isn't the first time. Right? And meaning it never really goes away. It never really fully goes away. It doesn't fully disappear. A couple goes through things that will never fully disappear. So their marriage may still be successful, it can still be fruitful, but there's always going to be something, some luster missing from it. When a person sees things in that way, they're unlikely to give the tshuva process the maximum effort. Because what's the point? It's not going to work anyway. So Hashem's response is that it's not the way it works in your relationship with me. The Mizbeach is all full measures. I'm going to accept you back fully, not only fully, more than fully. And knowing that, we should approach the tshuva process and the approach of connecting with the Ribbono Shel Olam in places where perhaps we failed with a complete heart and with absolute commitment. And then finally, there's the shulchan. And the shulchan is representative of physical needs, physical pleasures. Harotze lahashir yatzbin, because shulchan is bitzafon. When it comes to material wealth, to borrow the brisker terminology, there are tzvei dinim in material wealth. There's the attitude toward the wealth that we've already achieved, and there's the attitude toward the wealth we aspire to achieve. And one has to come in a half measure, one has to come in a full measure. When it comes to our view of what we've already been given by Hashem, then the approach should be Yaakov Avinu's Yesh Li Kol. It's a full measure. I've been given everything. I have everything I could ever want, everything I could ever need. Full measure. When it comes to our aspirations, the attitude should be different. We shouldn't aspire for everything to be top shelf in every regard, for everything to be the greatest in terms of Gashmius. You know, the truth is, if a person aspires to everything, he'll never achieve it anyway, because Mishayesh Lamana Rotz Masayim. I mean, that is the attitude one should have in Ruchnius, to try to chase something, knowing that we're never going to fully achieve it, but to keep up the chase. In Gashmius, we can't keep up that chase forever. It's exhausting to keep up that chase forever. You know, Rav Gershon Ribner, I was listening to the recording when the Spoke Ratzon group met Rav Gershon Ribner. Also a parsha for a different time, like when the record is off. But when they met with Rav Gershon Ribner, one of the things he said was, he said, they asked him about, what if someone is not cut out for full-time learning? So like, is it mutter to work? You know, I don't know how they phrased it or whatever. So Rav Gershon said, I'm just always suspicious of someone who says, I'm not cut out for full-time learning. Like, if a person struggles making a living, does he say, I'm not cut out for parnasa? You know, like, does a person ever say such a thing? Or they just say, no, I got to try again. I have to try harder. Meaning, we're sometimes too quick to say that I'm not cut out for learning, and not as quick to say that we're not cut out for making a lot of money. So again, the mizbeach, the idea of the not the mizbeach of the shulchan, is that the wealth that we've already achieved, we should feel that we have in full measure. Whatever we want to achieve, we should feel that we could be mistapik b'muat, that we don't need to be top shelf on everything. So the message is clear that Yiddishkeit is a religion of many elements. It's a religion of action. We have tayag mitzvos. It's a religion of belief. There's ikari emunah. It's a religion of philosophy. It's a religion of a lot of things. But one of the things that Yiddishkeit demands of us is a certain attitude. The approach that we take to these three elements of life, spiritual accomplishments, overcoming spiritual adversity, and material accomplishments, really help to determine our success as Ovdei Hashem. So when we think of our Torah learning, we should be proud of our accomplishments, but aspire for much, much more. When we think of our relationship with Hashem, we should know that He's ready for the relationship to be one of, you know, not just Avas Olam in the Lashon of the Baal HaTanya, but Ava Rabba on top of the Avas Olam. That He's ready for more and more and complete Ava with the Jewish people. And when thinking of our material success, we should be 100% satisfied with what we have and not aspire to fulfill our every physical desire. Okay.